This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hi, this is Jeanette reading articles to you from the March issue of Prevention Magazine. The first article is Five Myths About Cancer. The C word is scary enough without misinformation making things worse. Here are a few, quote, I've heards that you don't need to listen to anymore. Myth number one. Most cancers are caused by inherited gene mutations. Mythbuster. Only 5 to 10% of cancer cases are strongly linked to inherited gene mutations. Prostate cancer and certain breast cancers do run in families, but the rest are caused mainly by factors like aging, lifestyle, and environment. That means many cancer risks are modifiable via your choices. While you can't prevent aging, you can lessen other major cancer risk factors by quitting smoking, limiting sun exposure, staying up to date on vaccines, drinking less alcohol, avoiding or limiting processed meats, and doing what you can to maintain a healthy weight, says Timothy Rebick, Ph.D., a professor of cancer prevention at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. Myth number two, deodorant causes breast cancer. Mythbuster. Multiple studies have found no link between deodorant, with or without aluminum, and breast cancer, says Annie Chu, MD, a dermatologist with the Derm Institute in Redondo Beach, California. That includes a study of roughly 1,600 women with and without breast cancer. Another study found that the amount of aluminum absorbed into the skin from antiperspirant was very small, less than what people get from eating food. As of today, there is no compelling evidence to suggest that the aluminum in deodorants poses a significant risk to our health, Dr. Chu says. One thing that's not a myth, though, you really shouldn't wear deodorant on the day of a mammogram. The particles can show up on the film and muddy the results, Dr. Chu explains. Myth number three. Eating less sugar starves cancer cells. Mythbuster. Reducing your sugar consumption won't shrink your cancer. While it's true that all cells consume glucose and cancer cells consume more of it, a tumor cell doesn't really have to struggle for available glucose, says Philip Shearer, Ph.D., a diabetes researcher and a professor of internal medicine at UT Southwestern School Center in Dallas. No matter how little sugar you eat, you always have some glucose in your body. Even if you ate a very low-carb diet, your liver would still make a glucose to feed your brain. Also, there's no evidence that sugar makes cancer worse. The real sugar/cancer connection? A diet high in sugar, especially added sugars, can lead to weight gain, inflammation, and higher than normal levels of insulin, all of which can increase your risk of developing cancer in the first place, Shearer says. Myth number four. Cell phones cause brain cancer. Mythbuster. Cell phones emit radiation, but not the kind that potentially causes cancer. The radiation emitted by cell phones and other electronic devices is non-ionizing radiation, which is too weak to cause genetic damage, Rebick says. Also, decades worth of FDA research shows that brain and neurological cancers haven't increased since cell phones arrived on the scene. In fact, they've decreased in the past 15 years in the U.S. If you're still concerned, the farther away the phone is from your body, the less exposure you'll have to radio frequency fields. More worthwhile, though, Rebick says, is reducing your exposure to serious radiation risks, like sunlight and radon, an odorless gas released from rocks and soils that can build up in homes through cracks in walls and foundations. Test your home for radon every 2 years and always slather on products with SPF or wear UV protective clothing. Myth number 5. Aspartame is a major cancer risk. Mythbuster. Actual major cancer risks include smoking and exposure to asbestos. Aspartame, an artificial sweetener commonly found in foods like diet soda and gum, is at worst a, quote, possible cause of cancer if consumed in elephantine quantities. The evidence so far is that aspartame is safe in the amounts most people consume, Rebick says. Despite its recent reclassification as a possible carcinogen, the International Agency for Research on Cancer and the World Health Organization didn't change their recommendations for the upper limit that is considered safe. The amount of aspartame in a whopping 9 to 14 plus cans of diet soda a day for a 155-pound adult. More research is needed, but any potential cancer risks would very likely come from amounts greater than a normal person would ever be able to consume, Rebick says. Of course, if you're concerned, take a pass on it. Sounds like good advice. Okay, moving on to the next article. Your best skin. No one serum or cream will instantly change the appearance of your skin. There, we said it. But a slew of products formulated for specific skin types can help you protect, cleanse, and treat your unique skin so it will look and feel as healthy as possible. Not sure where to start? We tapped skincare pros, aka board-certified dermatologists, and tested dozens of products from highly rated brands to spotlight 8 star players for dry, sensitive, oily, and, quote, normal skin. Number 1. Best Body Lotion. Kiehl's, that's K-I-E-H-L apostrophe S, Cream Decor Soy Milk and Honey Whipped Body Butter. It's $45 at Kiehl's.com. This is a great body lotion since it contains shea butter and jojoba butter, which are both super hydrating. It absorbs into the skin very quickly and is not greasy or sticky. Number 2. Best Acne Treatment for Sensitive Skin. Cetaphil, that's C-E-T-A-P-H-I-L, Gentle Clear Triple Action Acne Serum. It's $14 at Target.com. Containing 0.5% salicylic acid, this milky gel serum targets breakouts while also hydrating and soothing the skin using ingredients like succinic acid, niacinamide, and prebiotics. It is fragrance-free and works to defend against dryness, irritation, roughness, tightness, and a weakened skin barrier, making it a great option for those with sensitive skin. Number 3. Best Cleanser for Sensitive Skin. Dove Sensitive Skin Beauty Bar, $10 for 8 from Amazon. This hypoallergenic cleanser has been a fan favorite for many, many years, and for good reason. It manages to cleanse effectively without stripping natural oils. Unscented and fragrance-free, it is the one cleanser I recommend to my patients without hesitation. Number 4. Best Hand Cream. Super Goop, that's S-U-P-E-R-G-O-O-P, Hand Screen, SPF 40, from $14 from supergoop.com. While you can use any sunscreen on your hands, This one is designed specifically for hands, as it is both hydrating and fast-absorbing. It also contains antioxidants to help protect the skin against free radical damage and brighten skin tone overall. Best Face Sunscreen for Oily Skin. ELTA, that's ELTA, MD, UV Sheer Broad Spectrum, SPF 50+. It's $35 from ELTAMD.com. This face sunscreen has 15% zinc oxide, resists sweat, and is water resistant for up to 80 minutes. It's great for sports and so lightweight that you can wear it every day. It also has hyaluronic acid, so it's hydrating. Number 6, Best Serum for Oily Skin. SkinCeuticals, that's SkinCeuticals, Silymarin CF, that's SilyMarin. It's $182 from SkinCeuticals.com. This is one of my favorite serums because it contains potent antioxidants, that's vitamin C and E, and ferulic acid that work synergistically to protect skin and prevent UV-induced damage. It also contains silymarin and salicylic acid, making it good for oily or acne-prone skin. Make your everyday life easier. Light weights are your ticket to a stronger core, which you need to lift, balance, and move with confidence. You don't have to be afraid of lifting heavy weights, but that's not the only way to get stronger. A weightlifting program using light weights is an excellent way to build up the strength of your core, aka midsection, to give you a solid, steady foundation. I often say it makes you feel as if your abdominal and back muscles are going from limp, wet noodles to sturdy 2x4s. The benefits of increased core strength are no joke. Stable core muscles make it easier to maintain proper posture as you go about your day and protect your body through sudden movement changes. They also enable you to shift direction quickly, as when avoiding a crack in the sidewalk that might cause you to trip. And if you do start to fall, having a strong core will make you more likely to stabilize yourself and regain your footing fast. Plus, there are many other benefits to lightweight training: improving bone density, supporting heart health, boosting mood, and reducing risk of injury, to name a few. To get started with lightweight training, I'm sharing 3 moves from my prevention book, Lift, Light, Get Lean. And this is by Brooke Benton, B-E-N-T-E-N, Master of Education. They'll work your core as well as your arms and legs for a full body routine that makes you stronger in the ways that matters most. Here's what to do. Complete 4 reps of each move, then start at the top again and cycle through for 5 minutes. You can incorporate additional moves from the book for a longer and more complete workout. Let's start with what weights you should use. At the end of a set, you should feel as if it was challenging and uncomfortable, but doable. If you finish a set feeling as if you could easily do several more reps, your weights are too light. Most women in my focus group for Lift, Light, Get Lean use 3 to 5 pound weights. Start with crab rotations. What it works: shoulders, triceps, glutes, and obliques, plus it improves balance. Setup: sitting on a mat, bend your knees and hold dumbbells in your hands by your sides. Step 1, lift one leg, then lift the opposite leg, and bring the weight to the outside of your lifted leg. Return to starting position. Step 2, repeat with the other leg and hand. That's one rep. Next, bird dogs. What it works. The lower back, shoulders, glutes, balance, plus it helps posture. Setup. On a mat, hold dumbbells in your hands with wrists under shoulders and knees under hips. Step 1. Reach one arm forward with the weight in hand and extend the opposite leg behind you. Align both to match torso height. Hold momentarily. Step 2. Slowly return the arm and knee to the floor, assuming the starting position. Repeat on the opposite side. That's one rep. Next, flutter kicks with arms over shoulders. What it works. Shoulders, abs, and quadriceps. Setup. Lie on your back and hold dumbbells straight over your shoulders. Lift your legs so they're hovering above the floor. Flex your feet. Rest your head on the floor. Step 1. Keeping your feet flexed, toggle your right foot above your left. Step 2. Keeping your feet flexed, toggle your left foot above your right. That's one rep. Okay, that should keep us toned up. Let's go to some shorter articles, perhaps. Test your hearing smarts. 1. Your primary care doctor is the best person to talk to about hearing concerns. A. Of course. B. Don't waste their time. Look up a hearing specialist yourself. Answer. While you could technically search online for a hearing specialist, your best bet is to visit your regular primary care physician first. Since doctors of different types specialize in hearing issues, the healthcare provider who knows you best can help you determine which specialist is right for your specific situation. For instance, an audiologist treats non-medical hearing and balance problems. An otolaryngologist, that's an ENT, is a doctor who treats problems with your ears, nose, or throat. And an otologist focuses on ear health that requires medical or surgery management of ear or hearing issues. So the best answer is A. Question 2. Which of these noisemakers has the potential to damage your hearing after 2 hours or less of exposure? A. A motorcycle. B. Gas-powered lawnmower or leaf blower. 3. Sporting event or concert. Or D. All of the above. The answer. Cover your ears. Being exposed to any of these noises for even a short period, especially repeatedly over time, could lead to hearing loss or damage. Here's the breakdown. Motorcycle, 50 minutes. Gas-powered lawnmower or leaf blower, 2 hours. Sporting event or concert, 15 minutes and less than 5 minutes, respectively. A good trick for determining whether your environment may put you at risk for hearing damage is to see if you have to raise your voice to be heard at arm's length. If so, the sound intensity is likely high enough to have an impact on your hearing. So the best answer is D, all of the above. Number 3. Which of these nutrients supports healthy hearing? Phosphorus, omega-3s, or probiotics? Answer. Omega-3 fatty acids are crucial for good neurological function, and here's why that matters for hearing. The auditory nerve carries electrical impulses to the brain, and that helps attach meaning to the sounds we hear. Meanwhile, many other nutrients play a role in promoting and protecting our hearing. For instance, low levels of zinc and vitamin D may be associated with hearing loss, while adequate levels of vitamin B12 may reduce the odds of tinnitus, chronic ringing or buzzing in the ears, also pronounced tinnitus. Potassium and magnesium also support good hearing by keeping fluid levels balanced in the body, including in the inner ear. Finally, folate is involved with auditory processing in the brain. Question 4. You need to clean out earwax regularly for the cleanest hearing. A. True. B. False. Answer. Put down the swab. It's true that buildup of excess earwax can muffle your hearing, but if that happens, it's better to have your doctor remove it for you. Tempting though it may be to dig around in your ear, that can actually push wax deeper into your ear canal, where it then gets a chance to settle in and block sounds. So keep those cotton swabs away from your ears. The packaging explicitly states this, so heed that advice. So the best answer is B, false. Question number 5. Your ears are home to a hearing system that consists of how many working parts? A, 3, B, 5, C, 8, or D, 12? The answer. There are 3 major parts of your ear that help you hear. Your outer ear directs sound waves to your eardrum and causes it to vibrate. These vibrations move through your middle ear, then into your inner ear. Finally, these signals make their last journey from the auditory nerve in the inner ear to your brain, which translates them into sounds that you recognize. So the best answer is A. That's 3 parts of your ear. Okay, moving on. What's your attachment style? Learn about yourself to connect more with others. Ever wondered what healing your inner child means? It relates to attachment theory. Emotional bonding with early primary caregivers impacts how we approach life and other relationships. Your attachment style becomes the foundation of your self-concept and what makes up who you are. Your thoughts, feelings, behaviors, attitudes, likes and dislikes, and values, says neuropsychologist Judy Ho, PhD and author of the new book, The New Rules of Attachment, which explores this concept. Once you discover your attachment style, the book gives you tools to make actionable changes to help you navigate life and become an even better you. Check the attachment style that sounds most like you. You can choose more than one if that feels right. The first is secure. Connected explorer. You have a generally positive view of yourself and others. Your sense of self is not overly dependent on what others think of you, what happens on a given day, or your accomplishments in life. You are comfortable with emotional intimacy and can usually form healthy, stable relationships. You generally stay connected to people who matter to you while pursuing your individual goals. The next is avoidant. Fiercely independent. Self-sufficiency and self-reliance are the watchwords of this style. You usually feel more comfortable chasing achievements and praise than pursuing intimacy and relationships. You're very goal-oriented, and it's likely hard for you to depend on others. Your parents may have set high expectations for you to take care of yourself, and now you generally fly solo and don't often ask for help, even when you need it. The next is anxious, also known as worried warrior. You tend to have high anxiety about your relationships and worry about being abandoned or rejected. Your self-esteem gets a boost when people are positive about you, and it is rocked if you receive feedback that is not good. It can be tough for you to reach goals or have the confidence that you can get what you want. Your parents may have made you feel insecure about their love and care for you, so you've become overly concerned with earning others' approval through people-pleasing behaviors because this ensures their support and reduces your anxiety. Disorganize, also known as surveillance specialist. You tend to be on high alert even when you don't need to be. It may be challenging to form stable relationships and manage conflicts in a consistent way. You may exhibit push-pull dynamics in both relationships and pursuit of goals. Your self-concept may vary more often than those of people with the other attachment styles. Well, isn't that interesting? Decode your pet's body language. If pets could talk, our lives would be a lot easier. But surprise, dogs and cats are actually experts at body language, so learning their signals can help us communicate with them. Choose which option is the best. Number one, chewing your stuff or other destructive behaviors. Number one, answer to boredom or stress. Try leaving them with an interactive toy to keep them occupied. Number two, barking or whining when you're ready to leave. Separation anxiety or anger. It's separation anxiety. Pets often whine or vocalize to express their anxiety about your leaving. Try distracting them with a puzzle toy or soothing music. Number three, over-grooming. A skin problem like allergies or boredom. The answer, a skin problem. Over-grooming can also be a sign of anxiety, but skin problems are common, especially if the area is red or inflamed. Take them to the vet to confirm the situation. Well, that's it for today. This has been Jeanette reading articles to you from the March issue of Prevention Magazine. Have a good day and stay healthy.